challenge getting here. I, a little week and a half ago or so, flew back to the States. I've been in the Middle East working. We have an office there and team now in Beirut, Lebanon, called the Middle East Mission Center. I'll tell you a little bit about it today and tonight. But I had some challenges, you know, getting to and from there, and some problems. But the Lord always preserved me and protected me. And then I was traveling in the States. And then yesterday I flew here from Burbank, California. And I had a 3:30 flight. When I got to the plane, about an hour early, my plane was delayed a half an hour. And I thought, okay, that's okay. But then when we boarded the plane, we sat on the tarmac almost 3 hours before they let us fly. And the time we got here last night, which was 3 hours late, we tried to land here at SeaTac. And as we're landing, it was so foggy, you know. We got 50 feet above touchdown, and then so, oh Jesus, hallelujah, you know? You know how your heart begins to race and you think, oh my, thank you Lord that we didn't touch down, if it was going to be a mistake or whatever, you know. And then nobody's communicating, and that even makes your heart race a little more. So then the pilot eventually comes on and says they couldn't see, but they're going to try it again. So, you know, I'm praying in tongues. Hallelujah. This is a preacher who believes in praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. I was praying in tongues. I was repenting. Hallelujah. Huh? I was doing a lot of things. Glory to God. We come in to land again. And then nobody talks at all. So after a while, a pilot came on and he said, they're going to Yakima. So we said, oh, okay. So we land there. That whole city was shut down. There wasn't a soul in sight, except when we're coming in for the landing, just, you know, flashing lights. They have all the, you know, ambulances and fire trucks out there lined up, ready for our landing. You know, when you see all that, that's not a good sign. You know what I'm saying? So we landed there, and I was just so glad to be on the ground. They wouldn't let us off the plane because nobody was in the airport. The whole place was abandoned, you know? They had two people in the whole place. They finally let us go off and get in this secured area, and it was about 11 o'clock. The 11 o'clock news comes on, the NBC affiliate out there. The head story is all the flashing lights and a plane that was supposed to crash at the airport. I'm looking at the thing up on the wall. We're all sitting around. They're talking about us, man. They thought we were going down, you know. So then a few hours later, we flew in. They got another set of pilots there somehow. And we arrived about a little after 3. And then I got to Tacoma, so I'm all fired up. Hallelujah. I'm just so happy to be here. Hallelujah. Let me. Aren't you glad to be alive and well? Yeah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big shout. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, you know, we can't afford to have another bad day. So whatever was bugging you, just get rid of it, you know. Whoever was getting on your nerves, just don't let them mess with your mind. Just love the Lord today with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. Huh? If you do that, you're going to have a good day. You really, really are. Praise the Lord. And a day of victory. I'm glad to be here. Like I said, we've been very, very busy in the nations. And you all have been so kind all these years praying for us and supporting us. We have a magazine called Nations. Make sure you pick it up. This year we've had a banner year in building. We opened in February the Middle East Mission Center in Beirut, Lebanon. We have a facility, a couple thousand square feet. We do all of our programming now in Arabic. I preach every night from Baghdad to Casablanca. Hallelujah. In Arabic. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's a sign and a wonder. Praise the Lord for people. But anyway, it's very, very exciting training people there for Operation LifeCell. And then, of course, we've been doing all kinds of crusades. We built our newest home in Guatemala. It was just dedicated, and it's to house 24 kids with HIV. We have 8 children now with HIV, and one of the kids, their whole blood work is changing since the kid's hanging out with us. Yeah. The doctor said the kid can't legally be considered an AIDS baby anymore. Yeah, the kid's been, his whole blood work's changed. You know, things can change for you if you just hang out with folk of faith. You know, just stay planted among people who are believers. It can affect you physically. It can affect you mentally. It can affect you every way. So it's very, very exciting. So a lot of things happening. We just built this year in Africa what we call a mission center to rescue women and children from slavery. We've rescued 24 women and 82 kids, built this whole compound and complex. It's really neat what the Lord's doing all over the world. But pick up a magazine, pray for us, use it as a point of contact. Even though there's a lot of pain and problem in our world today, God's got us on assignment. Hallelujah. And we're equipped to do His work in this hour. Well, you all ready for the Word? If you have a Bible, go with me to Matthew 5. Let me pray. Father, thank You for this precious time. Lord, indeed, we are delighted to be alive and well. We do give You praise. Father, we say by faith we're not nervous about nothing. We're not afraid of the past. We're not afraid of the future. Jesus, You're Lord of all. Lord, I thank You that You're preserving and protecting and prospering and blessing every person in this place. Every home is going to find help this day. And we give You praise in advance for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 48, the words of Jesus. Jesus said, therefore, you shall be perfect. Let's just stop right there for a minute because that phrase bothers me. I mean, imagine that. Jesus Christ giving you an assignment to be perfect. Giving me an assignment to be perfect. Therefore, you shall be perfect. Do you know that God's looking for perfect people? Do you know that perfect is possible? Do you know that you are the perfect candidate? Now, see, when I think of perfect, I think of, you know, infallible. And I think, who in the world is going to ever qualify? I remember when my wife Heidi met me, we were in Bible school many, many years ago. We're celebrating, in fact, in a couple of weeks' time, our 23rd wedding anniversary. I'll never forget when Heidi met me, she thought I was a perfect person. It's really unfortunate that she got to know me. Hallelujah, you know what I mean? Because I totally destroyed that thought quickly because she realized this kid is wrapped in humanity. Doesn't the Bible teach we've all sinned? We've all fallen short of perfection or glory? How in the world then can Jesus require of us to be perfect people? Therefore, you shall be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Like Father, like Son. God's looking for perfect people. Actually, this word in the original text is the word teleos. And it simply means to be complete in mental and moral character. In other words, Jesus requires us or calls us to maturity. He calls us to grow up so He can show up. You know, every human heart craves heavenly display. Every human heart craves manifestation of the life of a supernatural God. Everyone. This is the way we're created. This is the way we're made. Every human heart wants God to intervene in the midst. They don't know how to communicate it. They don't know how to say it. But you and I, as believers, who are the called ones into the fellowship with the Father, if we can choose to take this commissioning assignment of Jesus Christ to grow up or to become complete in mental and moral character. If we will grow up, He will show up. He will display Himself strong in our life. Look at the Bible teaches in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. In the King James Version, the Bible reads this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong." What a wonderful phrase. I love that phrase, to show Himself strong. You know, what you really need in your life is for God to fix it. I'm tired of trying to fix myself. I'm tired of trying to fix all the little challenges of my little world and my family or my kids or my situations. I can't fix nothing. Keith Hershey in the flesh is nothing but a failure. In my own ability, in my own sufficiency, I don't have adequacy. But with His life manifesting through me, with His sufficiency living, you know, as my, you know, source, resource, His sufficiency, He will manifest His ability. He will show Himself strong on behalf, look at the Bible says, of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. A heart that's matured. A person who's spiritually grown up. See, when you grow up, He will show up. God wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. See, sometimes we as believers think that spiritual growth is just natural. Like we think natural growth is just natural. In other words, on this plane, when I was flying in yesterday, I got acquainted with several kids because I was with them for a long time. And, you know, little infants crying, little, you know, you look at these precious, beautiful little children and you think they'll just naturally grow up to be big people, you know. But that's not necessarily true. There has to be a mama or a daddy or a grandma or somebody who loves this child to feed the child and care for the child so the child can physically grow. Have you ever heard of stunted growth? See, I've seen it. I've traveled in over 70 nations of the world preaching the gospel. I go into famished areas. I go into war-torn areas where people don't have food, where they're not well-equipped to grow physically. I've seen stunted growth. It wasn't the person's fault. It's they didn't have the resources to mature physically. See, some people think that you just emotionally mature just because you get older. That's not true. I know people who are 50 act like they're about 7. I'm preaching good now. Hallelujah, huh? Yeah, they're childish. They throw tantrums. They want their own way. It's my way or the highway. They've never grown emotionally. Act like little kids. I was sitting on the plane next to two people, full-grown men, acting like kids. I was so embarrassed for them. I thought to myself, what goofballs emotionally? They've never given their heart to emotional maturity. Then there's a lot of people, spiritual people, born-again people, they think they grow spiritually just because they've been saved a long time. They say, Brother Keith, man, I've been saved 27 years. Well, thank God for that. It means nothing. There's a lot of people who've been saved a long time, don't have a clue what they believe. Don't know who they are in Christ. Don't know what they've been redeemed from. Don't know what they've been redeemed into. They've never grown spiritually. They've never become perfect people. Complete in mental and moral character. If you don't grow up, the Lord won't consistently show. The chances of God moving more consistently in your midst many times have to do with your mature growth. You know, spiritual gifts, when you think about it, operate many times on behalf of people who need them most in their infancy. But for the display of God's preservation and purposes in your life, there's a consistent manifestation for people who want to be full grown and operate in the purposes of God. See, you and I need to make a decision that we're going to spiritually mature and become perfect people. God's looking for perfect people. And perfect is possible. You know, Jesus prayed for your perfection. Look in your Bible at John chapter 17. This is commonly called Jesus' high priestly prayer. And He's praying for all those who believed on Him. And for every generation, He looked through the ages of time. And for every person who was going to believe on Him, Jesus prayed a prayer for people's growth and maturity and development. Jesus said in verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. You and I can have individual maturity, but we can have a corporate maturity. God's looking for perfect people. So my message for you today is just to encourage you to grow up, to mature. You know, I realize that the longer I live, the more I got to grow. You'd think you'd eventually arrive. You really don't. It's a lifelong process. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you know this very well. In verse 11, Paul the Apostle gives instruction about people, men and women planted in the body of Christ. Their fivefold ministry gifts. Verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These men and women placed on purpose for a process to perfect people. See, I believe God assigned me this Sunday here to Tacoma, Washington, for one reason. It's not for me. My assignment here has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the people planted in this place and to propel and put them through a process to continue to perfect them. Look, the Bible goes on to say, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect person. See, God's looking for perfect people. And perfect is possible. Look at the next verse says, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, shifty. See, children many times are so double-minded, they don't have a clue what they want. A lot of times people who haven't spiritually matured, they don't have a clue what they want. Because they haven't put themselves in a perfect process. God's looking for perfect people. And perfect is possible. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became matured, or a man, I put away childish things. See, there's certain growth you can't gain until you give up a lower life or a childish life. You're going to have to put yourself on a restriction of childish ways if you want to gain manifestation of God's purposes in your life. The Lord wants to show up through you. He wants to fix you. He wants to fix your relationships. He wants to fix your soulish realm that, you know, is like a teeter-totter. Up and down, up and down. Listen, we should never live life like losers when we're called to be overcomers. We win and rule and reign in this life through Christ Jesus. So the deal is that God's looking for perfect people. So Paul said, I put away childish things to gain what God wanted me to give in terms of growth. Our oldest son, Justin, he's now 20. A week ago or so, he had his birthday. And he lives in New York City. He moved to New York, to Manhattan. He's going to a Bible school that actually meets in the Empire State Building. And so he lives there. And Heidi and I were thinking about this as this kid was going off, you know, last summer. And I look at this kid and I think, my goodness, does the kid have a clue about what to do, you know? Can he make a decision? You know how sometimes you look at kids and you see their immaturities? And you think, my goodness, as a father, as a parent, did I do anything? Hallelujah. Does this... Why is this kid acting like his mother's side of the family? Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Those are fighting words there. Aren't they? No, but you know, you look at people. But you know, we, once you grow physically, when you look back at your life, you don't ever think you were that immature, do you? But really, my son's far more mature than I ever was. Been exposed to far more of the Word than I ever had a clue about. Understands who he's in Christ. Filled with the Spirit. Far before I ever got filled with the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And so he really, but it's interesting in life how you look at things in terms of maturity processes. But see, God's looking for perfect people. And perfect is possible. Here's the thing I've asked the Lord. I said, Lord, okay. If you want me to be a matured person in every capacity, mental and moral character, if you're looking for perfect people, and I'm the perfect candidate, how do I become perfect? See, I think we have a right to ask the Lord if he assigns us something or to do something, we should be able to say, okay, Lord, if this is what we're to do, how do we do it? If this is where you want me to go, how do I get there? I think we can ask the Lord if we have an assignment for him to give us instructions. So I said, okay, Lord, how do I become a perfect person? Because you know what you're working with. And I know what you're working with. And it frightens me, but evidently it doesn't frighten you. So how can I become a perfect person? Now, this is the revelation the Lord gave me. Now, this is really deep now. You guys know I'm a deep gospel preacher. This is almost mystical. Hallelujah. This is right out in the edge of the realm of glory. Hallelujah. You ready for this? Now get ready. Write this revelation down. This is how you become a perfect person. You ready for this? Now I'm going to read it. Make sure I get it right. Practice makes perfect. Wasn't that deep? How many heard that expression? Practice makes perfect. Well, actually, perfect practice makes perfect, right? But the idea of repetition. Do you know I'm a musician? I play the keyboards, I play the trumpet, and I play the guitar. I was watching the musicians. Great. You all have a great worship band. Great worship team. Great worship choir. Awesome. I'm a musician, but you don't want to hear me play. Because I've never matured as a musician. As a young boy, my mother used to always say, Keith, practice the piano. 30 minutes every day. The longest 30 minutes of my life. When I would sit at the piano and try to get the left hand and right hand to do different things and have the foot going. I hated every minute of it. I hated it. I'd look at the clock and 27 seconds passed and I'd do more. I'd have to go to the bathroom. Kept the clock running. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I couldn't stand practicing, so I never was perfected. I was never matured as a musician, but technically, I'm a musician. What does the Bible teach in James chapter 1? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, the Bible teaches that we practice the promises to be perfected by the promises. If you don't have daily repetition in your life of the promises being activated, you're never perfected by those promises. But God's looking for perfect people. That's the only way you're matured in mental and moral character, is by your daily repetition, being led by the Spirit to put the Word of God to work in your life. God's looking for perfect people. And perfect is possible. You're the perfect candidate, but you have to practice to become perfect. You got to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Otherwise, self-deception sets in. You know, there's a lot of people who are spiritually immature. They always think the devil's the problem. No, you're the problem. Sorry to hurt your feelings, but I'm leaving town tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, you and I, if we don't practice the promises of God, we are great candidates to be deceived by what we think we believe. See, it's not possible to be perfect by the flesh or natural ability. Being begun in the Spirit is periodically. But God will give me assignments by the Spirit, and I try to fulfill it in the flesh. What a failure I've become in that capacity. Anytime I try to take hold of a spiritual assignment and try to get it done according to my ability, it's miserable. I make everybody around me miserable. Perfect's possible, but you have to stay in the Spirit through the power of the promise, through the power of the Word. You can't get perfect through fleshly endeavor. See, to be perfect is a lifelong process. I wish I could tell you I had three easy steps today that you could fulfill by Thanksgiving Day. Wouldn't that be nice? What I'm giving you today, you'll never completely get to. It's a destination goal, but there's always more of Him in terms of revelation. There's a new depth of His love, a new width, a new breadth. There's always something God wants to unload to you. That's the beautiful thing about keeping your heart tender, just to worship Him and love Him, even when you don't understand. I tell you what, when we were coming down last night for that second landing, whew, I was finding the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Especially when we lifted up out of that thing again. Man, thank God I could pray in the Spirit. Thank God that I had a word in my heart to secure me. Because I tell you what, in the natural, it was unbelievably frustrating. And there weren't many happy people. It's overwhelming. So it's as though I've all after. I love to be around people today. This just came rolled in chronological years and still giving God praise. How the Lord showed me how mature I wasn't. Because maybe He could show you a secret about yourself through the same inventory. I want to show you four things Jesus in the Bible talks about, symptoms or signs to give you discernment of how mature or perfect you really are. Signs of perfect people, or another way to say it, signs of spiritual maturity. Four things and then I'm all done. Number one, how do you handle pressure? Turn to your neighbor and say, you need help right here. This is where I perceive. Matthew chapter 7. Go there with me in your Bible. I'll just be honest with you. I love the Lord with all my heart, but sometimes under pressure, I'm not a lot of fun. Sometimes I don't handle pressure very well. And you know, I'm a gospel preacher. I'm filled with the Spirit. I pray in tongues, but sometimes pressure bugs me. There's certain pressures in life I handle pretty well, and there's others that show elements of my life that are not fully matured. How do you handle pressure? Matthew chapter 27, or chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Let's pause right there. What did Jesus just preach in that statement? Jesus preached my point that practice makes you perfect. The repetition of the Word of God in your life will stabilize you, will make your life established where you're not some wishy-washy dude up one day, down the next, in one day and out the next, vacillating by your carnal nature, your fleshly feeling. It stabilizes you. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, here in these next few verses, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to tell you the story. You read them on your own. Jesus talks about two people in the same church, heard the same great preaching. One person heard the word and then practiced to be perfect by the word. Jesus said this dude was stable. It's like he's built his life on a rock. When you grow up, God will show up, and many times when God shows up, He preserves you. I just like to be around and say hallelujah. You know, I don't know what you're so depressed about if you're sucking air. Listen, if you're breathing, you've got hope. Everything doesn't have to be perfect today in terms of what you think perfect is for your circumstances, but you've got the possibility for faith in God another day to fix everything you're concerned about. This guy was stabilized on a rock. The other guy heard the word but didn't practice to be perfect. So he was just born again for a long time saying hallelujah, doing little tants, but never practiced to be perfect. Jesus said, watch the dude, he's shifty. He's got his whole life established on a sand. And when pressure comes, he'll fall apart. See, pressure tells you what you really hold. Sometimes it's not pretty. So two people from the same church heard the same teaching. One was perfected by the word. One just said hallelujah to the word. And then pressure came. Jesus called it a storm. And when the storm hit, the dude who was a shifty up and down fell apart. Lost his mind, cussed everybody out, you know, went into a rage. The other dude just stayed strong. See, in our culture, what we teach people in our culture is to be numb to everything, right? Everybody wants to be intoxicated. You ought to see on the plane yesterday, everybody wanted to get loaded. They were giving free drinks to whoever could down them. They ran out of substance. Hallelujah. I mean, people just absolutely wanted to be numb. Yeah, we celebrate intoxication in our culture, or we celebrate medication. We have drugs for everything. You see all these drugs they advertise? They want your mind to think drugs are your answer because they want you numb eventually. And they want the government to pay for it all. They want it to be a lifestyle. Now, no problem with medications. Paul told Timothy, even for the stomach ailment, go ahead, have a little wine. There's a medicinal value in the alcohol value in terms of a medicinal value. That's why if you have cough syrup, it has alcohol content in it. Huh? Right? So nothing wrong with meds, but don't have them as a lifestyle. Don't come to a place where you're numb. And you can't operate in faith. See, people who are on sand, they fall apart and they want to be numb. But people of faith, who are perfect people, under pressure, they just say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. They know God's going to show up because they decided to grow up. And the Bible promises that God will manifest Himself on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. God's looking for perfect people, and perfect is possible. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number two, second sign of spiritual maturity or perfect people. How do you handle possessions? Isn't that exciting? Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Somebody saying, oh no, here goes the visiting preacher talking about money. Well, hold your horses. Just listen to the words of Jesus. I don't need nothing. I'm fine. Look at this. Matthew 19. Jesus speaks to a guy who has everything you want. He's called the rich young ruler. Verse 16. He came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing do I do to really have the high life or eternal life? You know what the guy's looking for? Manifestation. For God to show up strong in his life. Not just religious life with do's and don'ts and regulations, but manifestation of God's presence. So he had everything you crave. He was rich. Don't we all want to be rich? I mean, I do. Nothing wrong with some money. I mean, if you're going to buy a house, at least in Los Angeles, you better think with big terms. You know, if you're going to buy a house in Seattle or cities or Tacoma or wherever you live, you can't think $50,000 anymore, $100,000, or you know, you got to think hundreds of thousands. In some communities, the median value is $1 million. Million. So you got to think like a rich man now. If I were a rich man. Yeah, huh? So this guy was rich. You have a covenant for provision. Hallelujah. He was young. See, in our culture, everybody wants to be eternally young. Nobody ever wants to look a day over 39. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Just three of you agreeing with me. The rest of you need help. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. Nobody wants to show, you know, if we get one gray hair. Oh, we color everything, huh? My boys look at me and say, Dad, don't you think it's about time for you to get some Just for Men or some Grecian formula? I said, don't you think it's about time for you to shut your mouth and mind your own business? No, you know, if we get a wrinkle, huh? A bag, huh? We stretch. We love the ministry of nip and tuck. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because we all want to look at, that's okay. Listen, if you want nip and tuck, God bless you. If you, you know, I like it all. God, you know, I'm for all of it. But the real truth is this. Don't be offended by me. But you're still getting old. And you're going to die. Looking young, of course. Hallelujah. Looking young. He was rich. He was young. He was a ruler. In our culture, everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody likes the idea of yielding, submitting one to another. No, everybody's a big shot. Nobody can tell me what to do. Okay. You're on your own then. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. The Bible teaches that the wisdom from above yields. You know, sometimes wisdom is still. For the sake of the larger picture of a purpose of God. Rich, young, ruler. But he didn't have what he wanted. Heavenly display. Every human heart crazy. So he comes to Jesus and said, Lord, what do I do? Look at Jesus said. Jesus basically said, do the word. In other words, Jesus said, practice to be perfect. Take the word of God and put it in operation. Work it. So this guy comes back to Jesus and said, Lord, I've been doing it all since I was a kid. Then suddenly, I believe Jesus had a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Look at this. Now notice the teaching here from Jesus' own mouth in verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect. Jesus understood that this guy was responding out of religious duty, but his heart wasn't connected to it. He had religion because he had no assets tied to it. He had no resource or possession tied to it. He had no money in it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart is going to be found there. This guy had no seed into the kingdom of God. He had no resource or substance there. So Jesus was trying to give him a clue of what to do so perfect could be possible. Jesus said, if you can sow seed substance, you'll lose your religious life and it'll activate my presence through those promises. But right now you just have the letter of the law. You don't have the life of the Spirit. So Jesus gave him a hard assignment. He said, I want you to go sell what you've got and give it to the poor and come follow me. Then you'll experience me and have what you're really looking for. And the guy didn't understand what he was after. He misunderstood what Jesus said. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. He went away frustrated. What Jesus wanted him to do was put himself in a place where perfection could be possible for manifestation to be displayed. God's looking to show off to those whose heart is perfect. It requires a substance financially. That's why I tell people, There's certain growth you can never gain until you give. If you're assigned to this church where you're planted in the body of Christ and you can't give to this ministry, you can't tithe to this church, you know, we'll celebrate and salute you and say, hallelujah, God's on your side, you're wonderful, you're going to heaven. But there's certain growth you can't gain until you give. Do you know the hundredfold teaching is tied into the concept? You read it through the whole thing. Jesus is talking about, in essence, in this particular thing. The other synoptic gospels are a little different. That's why I like this one, because Jesus talks here about the idea of perfection, maturity and spiritual growth with substance. How do you handle pressure? How do you handle possessions? See, I'm not too hard on the brother. Really, I don't. I hear preachers really criticize this dude. I don't criticize him because I don't know if I could do what he did. Can you? If Jesus came down the center aisle and said, hey, Keith, I'd say, whoa. What is it, Lord? Well, Keith, I want you to go home and put your house on the market, sell it, take all the equity, take everything you have, every possession you have, and you give it to the needs of the people in Africa or the Middle East or Central America, and I'll do something dynamic for you. I'll say, wow, now, wait a minute here, Lord. I don't know if I could do that, just spur of the moment. I'd have to really, really know and have a confirmation. Hallelujah. I'd say, no, wait, Lord, have you talked to Heidi about this? We got to be in agreement, Lord. See, could you? You say, oh, I could, Keith, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, when you get nudged to give somebody $20, can you do that? When you get nudged to buy a turkey and bring it so they can feed the poor, can you do that? If you can't do a nudge to get a sack of potatoes, I'm preaching real good right now, huh? How in the world can we do what this guy was assigned to do? Give it all. I'm not too hard on the guy. Now, my wife, she could do it. She'd say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But, you know, Keith's more calculating. Keith thinks about everything and what he's responsible for. I think about the families I'm feeding, people working for me. So I'm more calculated. But, hey, hallelujah, let's do it. Let's go for it. Say, wow, how come you're so spiritual and I'm not? You know what I mean, huh? See, how do you handle pressure? How do you handle possessions? Can you take an assignment from the Lord and give $100 or $20 to somebody? Can you buy a kid a pair of shoes? Can you send a kid to summer camp? When the church has a need, can you say, you know what? God, you gave me an assignment. I'm going to give $1,000 to that need. Wow. Can you do it? Or see, how perfect really are we? We shout about our growth, but this really tells us if we have any. Number three, real quick. Signs of spiritual maturity or perfect people. How do you handle people? Isn't this getting exciting? Turn to your neighbor again and say, this is where you need help, right here. How do you handle people? Think about that, you know. You know, I'm a preacher and sometimes I don't even like people. Isn't that terrible? I've been in places around the world where I've been so ripped off by people and got so angry. I've been thrown out of nations. I was given 24 hours to leave an Islamic nation. I was so angry. Fuming. People just absolutely ripping me off. I said, God, I can't stand it here. I said, I don't even like the people here. I said, God, let's just nuke them all. Hallelujah. Let's just... It shows you how spiritual I am. The Lord spoke, said, Keith, I didn't send you here to hate the folks. I sent you here to love the folks. You know, most times we get frustrated with the people closest to us. How do you handle your spouse, your kids, when they tick you off? How do you handle people at work? How do you respond with your voice? How do you handle people? Look at Jesus said, this is Matthew chapter 5. Actually, this is a good time to leave the building. Hallelujah. You don't even have to hear the rest of this thing. Look at this. Matthew chapter 5. Are you all having a good time?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, you know, Jesus wants to correct the way you look at life. He'll give you a fresh new flavor of your favorite verse. If you'll just grow. If you just want to be perfect, wow, and have a heart for God. If you'll grow up, He'll show up. He's big enough to fix you. You think God's nervous about your life? You think He's overwhelmed about, you know, what's going to happen? I don't think so. He knows you're in from your beginning. Let's just trust Him. Let's just love Him. I learned to trust Him, like I said, a whole new way about last night, about 3 a.m. Landing for the third time, fourth time. But I say to you, love your enemies. What a bummer. You know, some of you think, well, Keith, man, you're a preacher in the nations. Why would you get so mad? Well, the disciples, you know, I'm not that out of line. The disciples one time said, Jesus, man, let's call fire down from these, and from heaven, and He's just char them all. Hallelujah. Just give them a good old roasting. The Spirit of God, or Jesus spoke, said, hey, you guys don't even know what spirit you are of. Right? How do you handle people that bug you? You should love your enemies. You should bless those who curse you. Wow. You should do good to those who hate you. I mean, how many want to sign up to do that? I remember this one time I was being attacked in our ministry years ago when we had an office in Liberia before the war. These people over there, wonderful people, they just didn't have right understanding, thought I was a cult leader. Me. So they were spreading all these rumors, and I got so frustrated and so angry because I was young. I'd still get angry now probably to a degree, even though I'm old. Hallelujah. But anyway, I was so frustrated. So while I was there, the Lord spoke and said, go find the people and give them a large sum of money that they're not used to seeing because they don't believe in what you're teaching. Show them that you're living it. So I found the guy and said, you know what? Wow, it's so great to see you. He said, you're doing a great job sharing the love of Jesus. Man, I appreciate what you're doing. He said, by the way, I want to bless you. And I handed him a bunch of money. The guy didn't know how to speak. He said, I just wanted to let you know I love you. This is for your family, for you and your wife. Be nice to your wife. Take her out to some place she could never eat. Like there's a place in that nation to go eat anyway. Hallelujah, dude. You know? Then there wasn't. It was tough. But this guy, bless those who do you wrong. Bad mouthing you. Gossiping about you at work. You know? Do something nice for them. Look, it goes on to say, pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for them. See, most times we pray for people we like. We come to the altar and we pray. We follow, oh, God, use me, God. God, use me. Oh, God, use me. Then we get used. Somebody rips us off. We get ticked off. I just got ripped off. A couple thousand dollars in Nigeria. Which is a little amount. This is most last 30 days. This is most recent ripping. And, you know, we've been ripped huge money. Huge. Tens of thousands. And I get so frustrated. I say, God, I don't want to help nobody anymore. God, I'm believing you, trusting you, getting resources for stuff, and I get so frustrated. God said, I want you to grow up so I can show up. I want you to pray for them. You know, if Pastor Jan said, okay, let's have a special outreach Christmas weekend, Christmas Sunday. This year we're all going to bring three friends that don't know Jesus. We say, oh, hallelujah, people are going to get saved on Christmas Sunday. Make a list of three people, put it on your refrigerator. You always put names of people you like. Aunt Mary. The guy Joe across the street. Mark at work. Three people you know and three people you like. Why don't you have a list on your refrigerator? People I can't stand. The visiting preacher. How do you handle people? How do you handle your wife when she ticks you off? Your kids when they don't have a clue about your wisdom? You know what I mean? Number four, real quick. Are you all still glad you're here?
Yeah.
God's looking for perfect people. Perfect is possible, and you're the perfect candidate. If you'll grow up, He'll show up. God wants to manifest consistently in your ministry. You know, spiritually immature people are always looking for prophecies, manifestations, healings, whatever. It reminds me like of the thing of the moving of the water, John 5. People sitting a hoping something good, hoping. You don't have to live like a loser. Just hoping for some little thing that just one person gets in on. You can choose to grow up. God will show up. God will fix you. Number four, my fourth and final thing is, how do you handle pain? I hate pain. I wish I could tell you that pain doesn't have to be a process of your life, but I'd be a liar. Life's very, very painful. There's suffering in life. You don't have to suffer what Jesus suffered for you, but there's a process of soulish suffering. You know, the Bible says of Jesus that He was made the captain of their salvation. The captain of their salvation was made perfect through suffering, as in Hebrews 2, verse 10. Jesus matured in pain points. He learned how to trust the Father from His childhood to His death, even to the last thing when He's praying in Gethsemane, inviting the Father for a multiple choice opportunity, looking for another options. And He says, nevertheless, not my will. Talk about pain point. Jesus was sweating blood. And you think you have a little pain, you want to throw in the towel, call it quits, and think God's not big enough for you, and the church is not doing something right, or this is wrong, or you need a different wife, or you need, you know, new whatever. Just grow up. I'm preaching good. Paul had pain points, called a messenger of Satan. Three times Paul asked Jesus about the pain point. Three times Jesus said, grace is sufficient. Grace is manifestation. Grace is God's ability to do in you and through you what you can't do on your own if you know how to activate it. You know, you can make void the grace of God. The Bible teaches you make it null and void if you don't know how to activate it. Activate it by faith. Paul later said, the Lord delivered me out of all the stuff. Wow. Pretty cool. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, it's called pain points, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God's looking for perfect people. How do you handle pressure? How do you handle possession? How do you handle people? How do you handle pain? If you choose to grow up, God will show up. If you practice to become perfect, your life can be stabilized. Every storm that tries to knock the wind out of you and take you premature. I tell you, I reminded the Lord praying on the plane last night. I said, God, my life is not done. My life is not done. God, You sent me here. I have authority to get to destination points that You send me to. You better know where God's called you and what God's called you for. Otherwise, you'll let some storm take you out. You got to know in life. Man, God's a good God. He's got you covered. He can preserve you. He can protect you. And as we grow up, He's going to show up. If you like the word, give the Lord a big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Wow. Hallelujah. I love what God's doing. Man. You know, God wants us to just enjoy Him. He really, really does. He wants us to enjoy Him. He enjoys us. We're His kids. We're His kids. Hallelujah. Tonight when I teach, what time do we meet tonight? 6:30 or something? I got something in my heart that's going to help you. Bring a friend and bring two enemies, and I think we'll have a great time. People be blessed. Tonight I'm going to take time praying for a lot of people, laying hands on people. God's going to fix you. This morning I'm here to help you. I love, you know, Pastor Jan and Sue and the leadership team here, but I love the people. I'm here for the people. So I'm going to hang out after the service. be glad to hug you, shake your hand. If you can come tonight, it's when I'll really focus on personal ministry. But I want to just pray right now. But I want to pray this way with every head up, every eye open, and everybody looking around. What I preach to you today will not work. Isn't that a bummer? So let me finish the sentence. What I preach to you today will not work unless the perfect one comes in you. See, this isn't a self-help message. This isn't like a famous, your self-help gurus of the world. Thank God for all the self-help people. But the substance they use to stabilize you isn't sufficient. You need divine substance. It's called divine nature. Peter called it the life of God, divine nature. You need the perfect one, Jesus Christ, Messiah, who became man, to take residence in you by the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again, born from above. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you're saved. And the heavenly substance comes and takes hold of your heart and you're recreated perfect on the inside. Now you take the perfect substance and process it through your soulish realm, through your practicing to be perfect. And it stabilizes God's provision and protection and authority in your outer realm. But you need Jesus, Lord of your life. If you've never prayed a prayer to be born again, you're on your own. And you're in trouble. And when you die, you have no fellowship with the Father. You have no access to heaven. People say, well, Keith, there's a lot of roads to God. Well, there's a lot of roads to God, but only one road to heaven. You know, everybody's going to stand before God, no matter what they believed. So you can get to God, but to get to heaven, you need the perfect one. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and He's the life. If you've never verbally, out loud, confessed Jesus to be Lord before people, Jesus said you ought to do it. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before those around you, I'll confess you before the angels of heaven. If you're bold enough to put His name on your lips, that you want to love Him and serve Him and give your heart wholeheartedly to Him, down here among people, He'll put your name on His lips before all of heaven. That's why I like everybody's head up, everybody's eyes open, and everybody looking around. I want to see if people are bold enough to get saved. You say, Keith, I was saved a long time ago, but I haven't been living for God. I'm not maturing. I'm just frustrated. I'm just ticked off. Whatever the deal is, hey, we've all been there. No big deal, just change. Repent means change your way of thinking about something. If you want to get born again, or if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, you know you're not right. You say, Keith, I need to get it right. On the count of three, I just want to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up here, but I want you right where you're sitting to be bold enough to say, Keith, I want to say a prayer to be right with God so the perfect one can come in me and I can practice to be perfect and be preserved from the onslaught of hell. If you want that on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand to be born again or rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. One, two, three. Would you do that real quick? Praise the Lord. Here's a person back here. Here's another person here. Good. Person over here, good. Isn't this great? Hallelujah. Great. Let's everybody put their hands over their heart. Everybody just say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. I believe in you because you believe in me. I love you because you loved me. Jesus, be Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross. You were raised from the dead. I put my faith in you. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you, Jesus. I will practice and become perfect. Matured in the Word. Doing your will with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big shout. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to turn the service back to Pastor Jen. Remember out there, get a magazine so I don't have to carry him home. Also, some of my teachings are out there. We have this teaching, God is looking for perfect people. It's 4 26-minute lessons. So what I start today, I'm not going to teach on this tonight. I'm teaching something totally else. But 4 26-minute lessons on DVD, cassette, or CD. So three formats. And I think you'll like going through the whole thing. A lot of information I couldn't get just in my little session this morning. But you'll like it. It's back there. A lot of my books are there. All of my books are reduced. Our newest book is by my mother. It's called 7 Styles of Parenting. You know, you ought to parent your kids based on their motivational gift. If you learn people's motivational gifts, you'll get along much better in life. This book is the most helpful book on relationships I've ever read. We did it with my family, with my sons as a devotional during this past year. I did it with my whole staff so we could stop the wars from happening among people. Because see, we're all different. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're really different. Yeah, we all have different gifts. This is the best thing on knowing how to get along and connect. You'll love it. And all the examples in here are true except the examples about me. I know they're not right. So may my mother have greater discernment next time she writes. Hey, thanks for letting me be here. God bless you. Praise the Lord.